For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, and we will read the verses 18 through 30. Luke chapter 13, the verses 18 through 30. And there we read God's holy word. Then said he, that is the Lord Jesus, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut it to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So far the reading of the word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Matthew 13, verse 33. And there we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Beloved congregation, this morning we will hear about leaven that ferments three measures of meal. In preparation of this sermon, a title of a book crossed my mind, namely, The Woman with the Book, written by Miss Meinders van Werden, published by Bonisa Mission. It's a book that tells the story of an English missionary who worked in China and Taiwan. Her name is Gladys Aylward. She worked to end the traditional Chinese practice of binding women's feet, led a large group of orphans out of occupied China, and set up orphanages in Hong Kong and Taiwan. And what characterized her work? It was noticed that she always carried a book and that she read in. People who did not know her name called her the woman with the book. Wherever she worked, whatever she did, she had her Bible at hand. And she taught people from it. And when she took strength and courage from it in many difficult life circumstances, the woman with the book. Aylward relied on the Lord and his word. And by grace, he persevered in bringing God's word to the people. and her labors were richly blessed by the Lord. She did her work under tough conditions, and yet the Lord helped her out time and again. She was like leaven. Her conduct and teaching leavened her environment, though she was only a small, powerless woman. The theme of the sermon is the leaven of the meal. With the help of the Lord, we will listen to this parable and we'll pay attention to the actions of the woman and the leavening process of the meal. The actions of the woman and the leavening process of the meal. Another parable spake he unto them. We imagine the Lord Jesus standing in a ship near to the shore, teaching the people in parables about the kingdom of God. And it is in this chapter of the gospel, according to Matthew, seven parables are recorded, some of which the Lord Jesus may have told one after the other. Do all these parables have a different main point? Yes, I believe so. In Scripture, we sometimes find a twin or a triplets parable. Recall the parables which are recorded in Luke chapter 15. That is the parable about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost or prodigal son. These three parables are connected to each other. These parables are about something or someone that is lost, sought, and found. And every parable ends with the joy in heaven about the repentance of a sinner. And some commentators believe that the parables about the mustard seed and the leaven are twin parables. And at first sight, we see many similarities between these parables. Both are about something that starts small and ends up big. Both are about something that is hidden. Both tell us something about how the kingdom of God is working. And some commentators say that the Lord Jesus told these two parables, the one about a man and the other about a woman, so that both male and female can relate to the picture and can get a clearer understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is. This conclusion cannot be sustained by other portions of Scripture. In Matthew 13, every parable has its own particular main theme, which makes them all unique. We should not overlook the first words of our text. Another parable spake he unto them. It is another parable. That is what we have to keep in mind while we are listening to this parable. Though we should not neglect the resemblance between these parables, yet also this parable points to another aspect of the kingdom of heaven. The parable we are now studying is told in one verse. I don't think there is a shorter parable in Scripture than this one. We could say that it is a miniature parable. And what does the parable actually teach? Is there more to say than only these few words? I think so. And for a better understanding of the parable, we should know what kind of picture the Lord Jesus had in mind when he told this parable. As you know, the Lord Jesus told the parable in relation to the time and circumstances of the people. And he pictures to us an everyday occasion. The parable is about a woman who diligently prepares dough. She has meal and adds some leaven to it and kneads it together and lets the dough rise. For what occasion? That is not told. But it is obvious for the audience. They understand that this is a picture of a woman who is baking bread for her family. That is what every woman did in Israel. There were bakers, but not so many as today. And usually every family baked his own bread. And with this parable, the Lord Jesus zooms in on a part of the whole process of baking bread. It's like a picture taken from a bigger object. Only a part of the object is in focus. But when you see the picture, you understand right away where it is taken from. If I show you a picture of a runner with a number on his chest and back, then you understand that the picture is taken from someone who is running a race. Though you don't see the start nor the finish, from the picture you understand that he is running a race. Well, the Lord Jesus pictures part of the whole baking process. The portion which the Lord Jesus tells about is not the very beginning of the whole process of baking bread, neither the end of the process. No, the process of leavening the meal is told. That particular aspect of the process of baking bread is compared with the kingdom of God. As it were, this is the intermezzo of God's kingdom that takes place in this world. What intermezzo? That God's kingdom has entered this world and that it will grow till the day of days when the Lord Jesus will bring his work to fruition. And with the parable, the Lord Jesus explains the working of his kingdom in our dispensation. And by omitting the beginning and the end of the baking process, the Lord Jesus also reveals something to us. Just by telling us one part of the whole process, the Lord teaches us that there was a time before the kingdom of God came into this world, and that it will meet a purpose in the future. What happened before the woman brought the ingredients together and let the leaven do its work? Well, she prepared the ingredients. She decided how much leaven and flour she wanted to use. She decided when to bring it together. It was in her power to do with the ingredients whatever she wanted to. For what purpose did she let the meal ferment? Her purpose was to bake bread for herself and her family. Her purpose was to bake bread to enjoy it. She started the whole process of baking with the goal in mind, namely that she would satisfy herself with bread. And is this not a picture of God, who from eternity has decided who will be saved and in what way? The triune God decided in his council of peace who and how and when the elect will be saved. He lets his kingdom come into this world at his specified time, so that there will be a people that will glorify him in eternal bliss. His glory and his honor are the purpose of it all. When God's kingdom has come into this world and has finished to do its leavening work, God will receive what he has desired from all eternity. And then he will receive his people back out of the hands of the Lord Jesus, who has redeemed them. The parable emphasizes the woman in action. The parable does not start with the effect of leaven. Neither does it start with the meal. No, it starts with leaven which a woman took. That was leaven which she had prepared for the purpose of letting the meal ferment. She also prepared this meal by grinding grain. The parable starts when she puts the leaven and meal together. The parable stops when the woman has finished her work of making dough, when the rising process has ended. And then she can break then she can bake bread of it. Do you see what is happening? The leaven and the meal come forth out of her hand. She prepares it. She takes it. She brings the leaven and the meal together and mixes it. And the kingdom of God is filled with God's actions in this world. That started already in eternity, and it will be finished when God's purpose is met. God is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That is the picture before us. God's kingdom will not come if God himself is not at work. And if he does not keep his goal in mind, then nothing will become of his kingdom. His people are nothing but meal. They cannot do anything in and of themselves. We depend on God's gracious intervention. He's the only one who is at work. And the coming of the kingdom is his one-sided work. He works. For Christ is a leaven who leavens the meal. Yes, he even prepares the meal. The rock-hard grain he grinds to flour. So he works according to his good pleasure. Are you subject to his actions? Do you know yourself to be dependent on the Lord's working in your heart and life? It is God who lets his kingdom come. Not we can make ourselves his subjects, but we become his subject by his gracious intervention. It is such a blessing if we know ourselves to be dependent on the Lord's sovereign and gracious work, since his work will never fail. The gospel of God's sovereign, his one-sided work, is a comforting message for all those who have learned themselves to be people who cannot repent in their own strength, who cannot make themselves suitable for the Lord and his service. Happily, the Lord is at work in this world, and he's always at work for his kingdom. The Lord Jesus says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He does his God-honoring work. The Lord Jesus says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Paul says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Or to say it with the parable, the meal does not say to the leaven, "Come with me and join me." Neither can the grain make itself into meal. It's all in the hands of the woman. And the Lord is so good and gracious. He stretches his arms out to a wicked world. God does not turn his back to a world that is lost in sin and guilt. No, he has his hand filled with leaven to visit it and to leaven to penetrate his meal. God does not want to establish his kingdom in heaven with the angels who are his servants, always ready to obey him. No, he wants to establish his kingdom in a wicked world. He wants his kingdom to come in Canada, in Ontario, in the congregation of Hamilton. Isn't that a miracle of grace? Nothing of us can please the Lord, but it pleases God to work in this world. He has taken reasons out of himself to do so. But let us now pay attention to our second thought, the leavening process of the meal. God is at work. He let his kingdom come. How then does God's kingdom come? Well, that's pictured in the parable by the leaven that is hid in meal, leaven. Yeah, that's a remarkable picture because in Scripture we read more often about leaven. And all other times it has a negative meaning. Think of the preparations that needed to be made for the celebrating of the Passover. The house needed to be cleaned from leaven. 7 days, no leaven was to be found in Israel's houses. And by this command, God made clear that all that is filth, unclean, all that is sin need to be expelled. All of life needs to be directed to the Lord. And this command has set the tone for the other times when we read in the Bible about leaven. The Lord Jesus warns his disciples for the evil of the Pharisees and says to his disciples, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Or recall the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 when he warns the churches against malice and wickedness. And he says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And these examples show that leaven generally has a negative connotation. And yet, in the context of this parable, we notice that the Lord Jesus points to the positive function of leaven and uses this as a picture of God's kingdom. So, only here in Scripture, leaven has a positive meaning. And this reminds us of the importance always to read a text in its context. In our days, we sometimes hear theologians making big statements on the basis of Bible texts which are not properly explained because the text is taken out of the context. And that is always a danger when we quote a Bible text. And I'm not free from that danger either. We need to read carefully. Anyway, the Lord Jesus speaks about leaven to explain something about the workings of his kingdom in this world. What is leaven? Well, leaven is not the same as yeast that is used in baking nowadays. The Jews typically would take a batch of fermented dough set aside from a previous baking session and put it into a batch of new dough and knead it until it is disappeared in the dough. And what's the effect? The leaven provided enough fermentation to cause the entire lump of dough to rise. The idea is that the leaven impacts all the meal. The text says that the leaven was hidden by the woman into the meal. And the Greek word that is translated to hide is a word that you would not expect here. It's a word that means that something is hidden on purpose. It reminds us of what you children play at times, namely hide and seek. By this, the parable emphasizes that what happens with the leaven in the meal is hidden from view. It is small and insignificant and disappears in the meal, and yet it has great power. Unseen, it leavens the meal. It does its fermenting work. Slowly, but certainly. And as soon as it is hit and kneaded through the whole meal, it cannot be taken out anymore. That is impossible. And here we find some important traits of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom establishes itself in the heart of man by the preaching of God's word. And when God's word is applied to the heart by the Spirit, then it will do its work like leaven. It will do its hidden work. Initially, you cannot see anything outwardly. No, when the Lord brings His word home to you and touches your innermost being, from that time on, something changes in life. The Spirit opens your heart and gives you enlightened eyes of understanding. The Spirit bends your will, and you begin to listen differently to the preaching. And you read God's word, as it were, with different eyes. You believe that God addresses His word to you, and you cannot but listen to the Lord and obey Him. He changes your desires. He fills your heart with love to His word and His service, and you begin to see your sin and guilt before God. You begin to realize that you cannot serve the Lord, and you discover that enmity abides in your heart, and it burdens you that you are under the dominion of sin, that you have an immense debt before God. And you begin to see your need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is proclaimed to you as the only one who is able and willing to save you. And you sense your need of His teaching. And you desire to sit at His feet. You desire to be right with God again. And that desire can no one can take away that desire from you. That remains. It cannot be expelled. An invisible power draws you. You depend on the Lord and His gracious intervention. And by mentioning this, I have come to another important trait of the kingdom of God. You will not be a partaker of true faith if the Lord does not lay it in your heart. You depend on the Lord's gracious one-sided work. As we already mentioned in our first point, all begins with the Lord's one-sided work. And that is what we also see with the woman's action. She puts leaven into the meal, and it comes from the outside. What does it mean? Well, if the woman would not have added leaven to the meal, then the meal would remain meal. It will not change if the woman does not work with it. If it remains untouched, then at the end, mold will affect the meal, and it will be useless. And yet the meal is taken by the woman and used for her purpose. And likewise, it is a spiritual life. It is the Lord's work in man's heart. It is the Lord who brings us into contact with the powerful working of His Spirit. And there is no man who is able to change his heart, mind, or will. But if God's kingdom enters the heart of the sinner, then it will change his life, definitely. How can this be? Because it is ultimately the Lord Jesus who seeks lost sinners. His heart goes out to those who will remain dead in sin and trespasses if He Himself does not quicken them by His grace. And that is what He does by His word and Spirit. He says to dead sinners, "Live," and they will live. He intervenes where there is no hope and no expectation. He comes under the preaching of His word, surprisingly. You ask, is the Lord willing to work in my heart? Your only meal. If you look at self, then there is no reason to hope. And yet, what is the desire of the woman in this parable? To add leaven to the meal and to use it to bake bread. Bread that will satisfy her and her family. Well, likewise, you have to look to the Lord, who is the one who has no pleasure in your death. That's a mystery that cannot be explained. We can only be amazed about it and honor God for his one-sided work. Because what is stronger, leaven or meal? What do you think? The leaven will affect the meal, not the reverse. Meal cannot resist the workings of the leaven. Do you see what happens? God brings Christ and the poor and needy sinner together and applies all the merits of Christ to the hearts. That is what he is pleased to do. That work of salvation cannot be resisted by our own folly. Have expectation from the Lord and beseech him to subject you to the powerful working of his Spirit. Thirdly, we learn from this parable that the meal is not partially affected by the leaven, but totally. Not just the outside of the dough will be affected, but all of the dough. In addition, since the working is hidden to the physical eye, the fermentation takes place from the inside out. What happens inside the meal, namely the process of rising, affects the outward appearance of the meal. And we learn from this that genuine conversion changes all facets of life. Scripture calls the commencement of spiritual life a new birth or regeneration. It is a comprehensive, recreative work of the Lord in the heart. And yet, conversion will not only affect us internally, it will also show itself outwardly. And yet, in that order. True conversion does not start with outward changes. Though it is good to have a modest lifestyle and not to give offense, yet these outward changes do not mean that our heart has really changed. Think of the spiritual leaders in Jesus' days. Outwardly, they were an example to the people. They diligently kept the law of Moses. At least that is what they thought. But what does the Lord Jesus say about them? Matthew 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness." As long as our heart is not broken by the convicting work of the law, and as long as we do not sense our bankruptcy, we're nothing but a white tomb. Outwardly, it may look so nice, but we are rotten on the inside. True faith is not like a sweet glaze layered on a cake. To become a Christian is not something you can simply add to your life. No, when the leaven of God's word leavens your life, you will be stripped of self and all of life will be affected by the grace of Christ. It leavens every facet of your life, and you cannot reason any longer. But this or that aspect of my life has nothing to do with the service of the Lord. As long as we have certain areas which we don't want to give up, but wish to pursue our own ideas and reasoning, then the meal is not totally leavened. Our life can be compared with raisin bread. Here and there you can find raisins of Christian virtue. But what does it look like when your life is leavened by the Lord? Well, then everything comes under his dominion. Namely, your time, your energy, your money, It increasingly becomes your prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And in the process of leavening, you also learn to give all of life into the hands of the Lord. That means that in days of prosperity, you will acknowledge the Lord. You become so small under so many undeserved blessings, and you desire to use them to His praise. And in a world of prosperity, you desire to be moderate, since you desire to see God's kingdom first. But this also implies that you learn to leave all kinds of adversities with the Lord. You can think of sorrow, sickness, physical or mental limitations, but also a pandemic. Christ, the leaven, teaches you to bow under it. The Lord is leavening your life. He teaches us to be patient and to look to Him with whom there is grace in every situation and under each circumstance. And that can go deep, very deep. Recall the history of Joseph. He had received rich promises from God, and he believed that the Lord would certainly fulfill his promises. But all that happened in his life seemed to be against him. He was sold by his brothers, falsely accused by Miss Potiphar, put into prison, and he was exposed to temptations and missed his dear father. At first glance, you might consider Joseph to be very unfortunate. And yet, what do we read about him in Psalm 105? The word of the Lord tried him. And the Hebrew word for tried can also be translated to refine, like gold is purified by a goldsmith. That's a painful process. And at the same time, so profitable. Your adversities are a means in the hand of the Lord to purify you, to refine you from selfishness, from sinful inclinations, from pride. And that's a lifelong process because of our indwelling sin, because of the old man that remains with us in this life. It's a process by which Christ, as the leaven, teaches us to lose all of self so that Christ would be formed in us, the leaven, who leavens the whole meal. That is, to die with Christ and to rise with Him. And what remains of self then? Nothing. Nothing. Spiritually, your identity is found in Christ. And because of that, He leavens your lives. He purifies it in such a way that you will be molded and shaped into His image. Your heart will be filled with His love, which causes you to love God and your neighbor. And the process of leavening takes time. It's the Spirit's work hidden to us. And we should not try to interfere with God's work. We should not try to blend our own reasonings with God's work of grace. If we will not be governed by the Word of God in all aspects of life, then we are frustrating God's work. Then we are grieving the Spirit. And meal will not rise properly if we disrupt the process of leavening. When the Lord continues to purify us with His grace, then nothing of us qualifies for this. Not our talents, not our abilities count. We need to die to them. It's an humbling lesson to increasingly die to self. He must increase, we must decrease. And that is the way the Lord builds his kingdom. Not I live, but Christ lives in me. In a spiritual life, you increasingly learn that salvation is his work from the beginning to the end. And by nature, we eagerly want to add something. Our deceitful heart tries to become somebody. It's such a blessing if you learn to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In summary, the parable teaches us that God's work in the heart is hidden. It cannot be viewed by man. It is in itself mysterious and invisible. It is his one-sided work. It does not come forth from us, but Christ affects our lives with his grace. Thirdly, the parable teaches to us that conversion is not merely a change in lifestyle, but a total change of life. It is a radical transformation. Christ changes us from the inside out, just like leaven changes meal within, which in time will indeed become visible. In conclusion, this will not make you passive, but active in the service of the Lord. That means, first of all, that you bend your knees and fold your hands. We become people of prayer. God's work of leavening will also be noticed by our environment. We become leaven to our neighborhood, to our environment. And God's grace governs your entire life, your behavior, the way you deal with one another, the upbringing of your children. And you sympathize with those who are strangers to God and his service. And it weighs on you that God's name is dishonored in society and in church because of its many splits and divisions. You suffer from that. And by God's grace, we become leaven. We cannot repent ourselves and we cannot convert others. That happens by God's leavening grace revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to look to him. We cannot be leaven without him working in our hearts and lives. Without him, we can do nothing. And God's kingdom will grow. The parable speaks of 3 measures meal. That's a big amount, enough to feed, what I read, to feed 100 people at once. God's kingdom will extend and grow till the earth will be filled with the fear of the Lord. God's word works in the hearts of many. Are you concerned about the future? Do you care for your children and do you wonder what will come of them? The great amount of meal is an encouragement if you wonder whether the Lord is still working. A little leaven causes all the dough to rise. All you seek to do in his name will not be in vain, since the Lord is faithful to his own promises. Do we belong to the kingdom of God? Do we know of the working of leaven in our hearts and lives? If not, then we still belong to the kingdom of the devil. We belong to either one or the other. Who rules your life? Is it still just you? Or are you governed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you wonder, how then can I be affected by God's leaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? The leaven will affect the meal. But what is meal? It is grain of wheat that is ground. That means that I need to die to self. It pleases God to do that as well. He grinds grain into flour. He breaks the hearts of sinners who are unworthy of his gracious intervention. He melts frozen hearts. He breaks hardened hearts into pieces. He prepares the heart for the working of his word of grace. The leaven will not affect a grain of wheat, but meal. That's God's work. In this parable, it was the work of the woman. The leaven did not need to take care of that. It belongs to God's work of grace to prepare your heart. And he takes care of that according to his promise. And that should urge you to plead with the Lord if you fear that your heart is still a grain of wheat. Lord, wilt thou grind my heart like grain? Grind it, Lord. Make room for thyself. Prepare my heart for thee. He creates broken hearts and contrite spirits. And what happens then? The leaven gets added to the meal. The leaven affects the meal by its powerful work. And in this we see another picture. The Lord Jesus Christ, who stretches out his arms to people who are so dead in themselves. He enters the heart and quickens you by his grace. He renews the heart so that it becomes leavened by him. So he adds leaven till the whole is leavened. And then what? And on the day of days, the Lord will take all the leavened meals together and bake it into one loaf of bread. All parts of the leavened meal will become one loaf of bread to the honor and glory of God. Amen.